This message is given in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. As most of you know, I was born and raised in Thief River Falls, Minnesota, a town of about 8,000 people. Now, around 6 miles south of Thief River Falls, Minnesota, there's a town of around 300 people called St. Hilaire. In fact, we used to joke that St. Hilaire was a suburb of Thief River Falls. Now, there's not much to see in St. Hilaire. They have a post office, a bar, a grain elevator, a gas station, and a couple of small churches. If you never visit St. Hilaire, you won't be missing anything, except for my aunt's famous flower garden, which actually has had tourists from around the nation. But for the most part, St. Hilaire is not a very significant place. And that's just how people thought of Bethlehem. Bethlehem was a small, one-camel town just a few miles west of Jerusalem. And if you never visited Bethlehem, you wouldn't be missing anything, except for the fact that Bethlehem was eventually famous as the place where King David was born. We learn about this, for example, in 1 Samuel chapter 17, where it reads, "Now David was the son of an Ephrathite named Jesse, who was from Bethlehem of Judah." Now when David was born in Bethlehem, only his family was aware of it. No one else really cared. Bethlehem was a dinky little town where nothing important ever seemed to happen. So why should any person care about a baby named David born in Bethlehem? Well, as you know, that baby named David grew up to be the teenager whom God used to kill the huge soldier Goliath, whose people were threatening God's people. And years after that, God would place this same David on the throne as king of all Israel. But even more significant than that, God told King David that the promised Messiah, the Savior of all nations, would come from his family line. My friends, God has an interesting way of doing things. Bethlehem, a one-camel town, became famous as the place where King David was born. But little did they know that in the future, an even greater king would also be born in Bethlehem. In fact, we heard about that event in our reading from Micah chapter 5. Let me give you a little background. Micah was a prophet who lived about 700 years before Jesus was born. Micah preached against the sins of God's people, and he warned them that God would send Babylon against them in order to humble them and bring them to repentance. However, Micah also wrote about God's promise to send them a king who would be their savior. Listen again to Micah 5, verse 2. "But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times." Now, did you hear that? Another ruler, even greater than David, would come from Bethlehem. But why would this ruler be greater than David? Because this future ruler's origin is from old, from ancient times. You see, this is a Hebrew way of saying that this ruler has always existed from all eternity. But how can that be? I mean, only God has existed from all eternity. Well, now we begin to understand who this future king will be. The future king Micah wrote about would be God himself. Listen to this text from Isaiah chapter 7. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel. And by the way, that Hebrew word Emmanuel means God with us. Now we're ready to hear Micah 5 verse 3. Therefore Israel will be abandoned until the time when she who is in labor gives birth, and the rest of his brothers return to join the Israelites. Micah is saying that God's people will be under the control of various pagan nations until the chosen woman gives birth to the King and Savior of God's people. And my friends, that's exactly what happened. Over 700 years passed from the time of Micah until the birth of Jesus. And during most of that time, God's people were ruled by various pagan nations. Now Micah also says that the rest of this king's brothers will return to join the Israelites. What does that mean? Well, in Matthew's gospel, we find out that Jesus' brothers and sisters include not only the Jews who believe in him, but also the Gentiles who believe in him. And Matthew points this out to us when he tells us about the Gentile Magi who came to worship the newborn king. And now we're ready to hear Micah 5, verse 4. He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they will live securely, for then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth. We're told here that Jesus' greatness will reach to the ends of the earth. And indeed, it has. Jesus is descended from King David. Jesus was born in Bethlehem, the town of David. Jesus came to save his people from their sins. And you who trust in Jesus are his people. And Jesus is your king. But Jesus is a king like no other. Think about it. King David reigned from a fancy throne in Israel. But King Jesus reigned from a cross outside of Jerusalem. David killed Goliath, the enemy of God's people. But Jesus is the king who gave his life to save his enemies so that we might be his own, now and for all eternity. In our first reading from Isaiah, we heard about this wonderful gospel. Isaiah wrote, "Comfort my people, and proclaim to her that her sin has been paid for." You know, the Magi who came to worship Jesus brought three types of gifts for him: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Gold is a gift fit for a king. Frankincense was burned in the Jerusalem temple as people offered prayers to God. And myrrh was a spice used to prepare a corpse for burial. Odd gifts for a child. Did the Magi know something? Well, we don't know exactly how much they understood, but the gifts that God moved them to bring show us that Jesus was not only a human king. Jesus is also God, who deserves our prayers and worship. In addition, Jesus died and was buried for our sins. But this same Jesus rose from the dead. And now he lives as our King and Savior from the death and hell we deserve because of our sins. Last Wednesday, we focused on the first candle of the Advent wreath, which we called the Prophet's Candle. We heard how the prophets of the Old Testament pointed to Jesus as the Savior of all nations. Tonight we focus on the second candle of the Advent wreath, which we will call the Bethlehem Candle. Tonight we have heard from Scripture how Bethlehem was honored with the birth of two kings, King David and King David's greater son. And my friends, just as God honored the little insignificant town of Bethlehem, God is honoring you tonight. I want you to listen carefully to these words from the hymn, O Little Town of Bethlehem. O Holy Child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today. Yes, Jesus. Be born in us today. How is Jesus born in you? He is born in you when you receive Him in the waters of holy baptism. He is born in you when you hear and believe His Word. He is born in you when you come to the Lord's Supper in repentance and faith and hear, eat, and drink the very body and blood of Christ given and shed for you. The Bethlehem candle reminds us that God in His mercy descends to us even though we are sinful and insignificant. God descends to us and gives us mercy and honor. King David's greater son, Jesus, was born in Bethlehem just as Scripture promised. And my friends, this same Jesus is born in you tonight. Amen.